This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. There are a number of sports in which gloves play a prominent role. There's boxing, hockey, even golf, but the glove is most readily associated with baseball, a game in which every player on the field wears one, even though it was not always so in the game's earliest incarnations. My guest today is a professor of film and television at the University of Vermont, and he's thought a lot and written quite a bit about the baseball glove. David Gentleman's latest book is called The Baseball Glove: History, Material, Meaning, and Value. And he joins me now in our VPR studios. David, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mitch.
I want to start with this fact I mentioned just now, that baseball was once played much as it is today, but without any gloves for fielders, even catchers. I mean, did the glove come about as an example of necessity being the mother of invention here?
Pretty much. If you look at some of the old photos of players, particularly catchers, you can see that their hands have their fingers going off in all different directions. Their knuckles are swollen. It's a horror show. They took a lot of punishment in the 1800s not wearing a glove. And so, especially for catchers, the glove came into existence just simply by virtue of the fact that they needed something to protect them from the pitches.
Was there resistance to that at all at the beginning?
There was a lot of resistance. And one of the things I found is that the resistance kind of went in two different directions. On the one hand, the resistance was on the order of, it's not manly to wear a glove. And there's a lot of reports of players being called sissies for putting on a glove. On the other hand, much as we see today with arguments over the shift and other innovations of the game, the arguments had to do with competitive advantage and people feeling like it wasn't true to the game if certain players were wearing gloves and others weren't. And so those two competing discourses went at it for the better part of 50 years until finally the glove became standard equipment. And part of that had to do with the fact that it did make the game better and more competitive, but it was also an opportunity for some innovators and entrepreneurs to sell sporting goods.
So the Spaldings and those types.
Yeah, the Spaldings, this guy, Arthur Irwin, who I write about in the book, they all realized that they could make a name for themselves and make a lot of money by selling gloves.
What were the earliest baseball gloves like?
Oh, the earliest gloves were usually just a palm of leather, and the players would take an existing glove and cut the fingers off. And it was really designed to give some padding to the palms, but give some flexibility and dexterity to the fingers. So most players in the 1800s would catch the ball with two hands, and they just needed something to cushion their palm.
You brought some gloves with you, I understand, to the studio today. What can you dig out of the bag there for
us?
Oh,
my goodness. Well, the oldest one I have is a Nakona Joff Cross model from probably 1946 or 1947. It gives a good example of what gloves used to look like through much of the 20th century. They look like a human hand, but a human hand as if it was a pillow.
Yeah.
It's, really padded leather, big and fluffy. It looks like you could take it on a camping trip with you and it would serve as your camp pillow. But it's not particularly efficient for catching the ball. There's no webbing between the fingers. The fingers all still move independently. There's a pretty rudimentary web between the thumb and forefinger, not as over-designed as it is today. Only about 6-7 years later, there's a glove that Wilson designs called the A2000, which you can still buy today.
Sure.
If you go to a sporting goods store. And they turn the axis of the glove about 45 degrees. They make a much more substantial webbing. They have webbing between each of the fingers. It doesn't look like a human hand anymore, but it's so much more effective for doing the job of catching a ball.
It's amazing because the glove that you just described here that you have in front of us now is the kind that guys like DiMaggio wore and, Mantle and Williams, and they would probably look at the gloves today and say, how many more catches could I have made if I had had that glove doing the snow cone out there in left field?
In some ways, the glove has changed the game more than any piece of equipment has.
You tell a great story in the book about visiting Cuba because you're a player. You played in over 35 leagues, and I guess you guys took a trip there. And a Cuban player approached you, and he knew already without even having to ask what position you played.
So this was actually a trip I took with a team of 11 and 12-year-olds. My daughter was one of the players on the team. And I was going out. We also brought the rest of my family with us. And I was going out with my then 9-year-old son to play catch, you know, beyond the outfield. And as I was walking past the stands, one of the officials from the Cuban National Federation yells out to me and he says, "Hey, second base," in Spanish, of course. And it took me a little while to figure out that, first of all, he's talking to me, but then what he's saying. And I realize as he holds up his hand and points to where his glove would be, that he's seen that I'm wearing a certain size glove. And that means I'm a second baseman because it's the smallest glove you can wear on the field. And second basemen typically wear gloves that are about a quarter inch smaller than even shortstops and third basemen do.
And why is that, by the way?
It has to do with them being able to get the ball out of the pocket quickly while they're turning a double play.
That international connection just through the glove there. Now, before I let you go, I have to ask a non-glove related question.
Sure.
But very much a baseball one. You showed me a photo of you at Fenway Park in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you in that photo? Tell us what you were doing and why does it make me so incredibly jealous?
I was 12 years old. I'm not completely sure how we got these tickets, but my father, either from a neighbor or a coworker, had gotten seats towards the front row, right where the Green Monster meets the stage. On what came to be known as Yaz Day. This was Yastrzemski's actually second-to-last game. They did his farewell celebration the second-to-last day of the season for whatever reason. And after Yaz got presented with a rocking chair and a truck and all of the gifts they give to guys like that, he took it upon himself to run around the stadium shaking hands with everyone in the front row. And it just so happened that the picture that appeared in the Boston Herald and the Boston Globe and in all the news outlets was of me as a 12-year-old shaking Yaz's hand.
Wow. Talk about a great fielder. David Gentleman is a professor of film and television at UVM. His new book is called The Baseball Glove: History, Material, Meaning, and Value. And David, who do you got in the World Series?
I got the Red Sox in five.
I love it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Mitch. It's been fun.